Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with Jamila Jamil, who plays Tahani in The Good Place, which returns tonight on NBC. Thanks so much for joining us, Jamila.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I gotta say, it's one of my favorite shows on TV now, probably my new favorite sitcom, but somehow I missed it when season one was actually on, but it was my new binge over winter break, and I'm all caught up now, and man, it's hilarious. Great work.
But, aw, thank you so much.
Absolutely. So the point of this whole thing is I'm trying to inspire all our listeners, if they haven't seen it yet, to catch up on it. So give our listeners a quick just premise of the show real quick.
Well, it's a show, it's a comedy about dead people, essentially. So the show centers around our main character, who's played by the brilliant Kristen Bell. And she has gotten into heaven, she's died, she's gotten into heaven. And very quickly she realizes she's not supposed to be there because she is, as we would describe in the show, an asshole. And so
No cussing in the afterlife.
No, that's not cussing. Asshole, forking, we found a way around it. Butthole is one of my favorite words of all time now. And so she has to try to pretend or become a good person in order to stay in heaven in case anyone finds out and turns her back to the bad place where she would actually belong. And so it's her journey in trying to learn how to become what is a really, truly good person. And I play one of the support characters. In fact, I play the annoying... the neighbor from hell, I guess you can describe me, the condescending neighbor from hell. And it's all of us around her trying to help her learn how to be a good person and learning ourselves how to become good people. And it's full of complete chaos. Ted Danson may well be one of the greatest characters of all time, and he is truly the star.
Absolutely. And you called your character Tahani the neighbor from hell, the condescending.
Oh, yeah.
Take me
annoying bent. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Take me sort of into, you know, she has an interesting little arc because at first, at least to Eleanor and the audience too, through Eleanor, we kind of think Tahani comes across as sort of this very phony niceness. You know, she's bringing all the welcoming gifts, all that. But then slowly over season one, we realize she does have a heart of gold and is kind of going through her own journey to become a good person too. So how do you as an actress sort of play that shift from the phony niceness to the, she's got a heart of gold?
Well, I'm English, so phony niceness comes very naturally to me. We are the most passive-aggressive people on Earth. But I also had a real person to kind of base a lot of Tahani on. Obviously, I've not told that person who they are or told anyone else who that person is. But, you know, the point is, and this is what makes Mike Schur so great, is that a lot of bad people are really just sad people. And Mike is great at building, like, empathy for characters by explaining why people are so irritating or so weird or so dysfunctional. And so as the show continues on, you start to realize, like, the layers and layers of Tahani that make her so frustrating and insecure and irritating. And you realize a lot of her arrogance comes from insecurity, as with a lot of people. And it's just very fun to see how she and Eleanor trigger each other. Like, they are, they antagonize one another constantly, and they push each other's buttons, and it's really interesting watching that relationship grow. And not a lot of female friendships or relationships are shown that way in comedy, and I think he's given us such an interesting arc, although quite a lot of people would like to see us romantically involved. I believe in America people call it shipping. And so we have been like the most shipped couple in the show, and started to receive some erotic fan fiction. It's been very exciting. Some of which has been in cartoon form, which is something I've never received. But that's very exciting. People seem to be very behind our relationship. Thus far, we are not yet romantically involved, but who's to say what's coming?
Yeah, you never know what future seasons will present. Well, so far you are romantically involved in a spoiler alert for season two with Jason, Manny Jacinto. I want to know what it's like acting across from him, because your guys' relationship in the show evolves from, you know, he's this monk with a vow of silence where you think you're supposed to be soulmates, but you're like, how does this even work early on? And then, you know, it involves to a little bit, it's getting a little more hot and heavy in season two. So talk about working with Manny as Jason and the chemistry you guys have.
Oh, I mean, it's such a great job when all you have to do is kiss or lie in a bed next to the male equivalent of Angelina Jolie. Like, he is really the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my whole life. And so he's my first ever on-screen kiss and my seventh kiss ever. And what he won't like me telling everyone is that I'm So his seventh kiss ever. We're both losers, but it's great. He's so hilarious. It's really hard to act opposite him because he's so funny and his improv skills are completely unrivaled. But it was so nice to finally be able to have some sort of romantic involvement because it felt like everyone was getting some action in series one. And it felt a bit too much like my teen years where I was the only one left out again. So it took me till season two to finally have someone fancy me back. And I'm so lucky that it was the most beautiful man possibly in the world. And it's definitely weird being friends with someone in real life and then having to act romantically involved. But he couldn't have made that more comfortable or easier or more fun. And our relationship is such an interesting dynamic and so fun. And I'm curious to see how people will feel about where that goes.
Yeah, I'm glad you two finally got your Cannonball Run 2 moments, you know? Everyone else was getting them.
Yeah, Tahani deserves action. She deserves some love.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously the main relationship in the show is probably Eleanor and Chidi, which has been so fascinating, like their love-hate relationship. She's such, you know, sarcastic and selfish, and he's so indecisive, frustratingly indecisive. But just talk about sort of what makes Kristen Bell and William Jackson Harper, what do you think makes them click so well together as actors?
Well, they have ridiculous chemistry, the two of them, but they're also separate two extremely talented people. William Jackson Harper might be the best secret on the show. He was actually going to give up acting just before this audition came around, and this was kind of his last audition, and then he was done. He was just going to kind of give up and get a normal job, and he happened to get the show. And Mike Schur said about him when he found him in the audition, "Where have you been all of our lives?" Because he's such a phenomenal talent. It's like Bill Murray and Jim Carrey had a better made his brain, and so I think he plays off of Kristen Bell's amazing comedic timing, and they're both very good actors, and the way that their characters complement each other and agree each other is so interesting. And I feel like I've seen this relationship play out amongst so many people that I've met in my life, so it's nice to finally see such an irritating, frustrating relationship on screen depicted between the two of them. I think they're so great. I really want them to, you know, I want them to last on the show. Whether they will or not, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of rooting
for
that. But
there's a huge twist coming up for season two again. Just when you thought we couldn't top the season one twist, there's something coming. And the end of season two is so, I'm so proud of it. It's so clever and interesting and lines us up three so brilliantly, which we're going to start filming in about 3 months. And I can't wait.
Oh, we can't wait either. Yeah, speaking of that twist at the end of season one, I mean, well, we kind of got to be careful and dance around it in case some of our listeners, haven't seen it yet. And honestly, that's why I think people can't really just, I urge them, if at all possible, to go back and start from season one on and go from the pilot on, because that season one finale twist is a lean forward on the couch, jaw drop moment. How can we try to tease our listeners with how it sort of, without giving it away, sort of gives us a reset button and allows season two to be sort of the same as season one, but in a new light.
Well, I mean, I think all I can say is, and I can say this because I didn't write the show, so I'm not completely arrogant, but it has been called by many people officially one of the greatest twists in like sitcom history, and it really is. Ted Danson's acting is so terrifying. Brilliant in it, and I was in the room watching him perform that, the big scene that kind of really defines as groundbreaking. I was there for that moment and remember that all of us just had complete chills and couldn't really speak afterwards because his performance was so extraordinary in that moment. It's hard to say because it's just so, it would be so devastating to ruin this for anyone to listen to. Right. But I want you to, if you haven't seen the show, I really urge you to start with the show. It starts extremely weirdly and then it kind of builds by episode three. You start to get to know all of the characters. You start to love them and care about them. And that twist is so worth it that even just the final episode of season one is worth watching if you can, because it's such phenomenal acting. And there's no way for me to talk about season two without explaining what happened in the season one finale. So I'm just going to tell people while like wagging my finger at them with a scold, you must watch season one because it really is the most exceptional acting from Ted Danson. He's a masterclass in acting.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you and I have been watching him our whole lives. I mean, from Cheers on, man, the guy's a legend.
Totally.
The guy's a legend.
Yeah, completely.
Talk about working with Michael Schur. I mean, a lot of our listeners have loved The Office, which he wrote for, and SNL, and then also he, you know, co-created Parks and Rec. Talk about how if they love those shows, why it's sort of the same sort of comedy can translate here.
Oh, totally. I mean, he's a genius, and he's also got no ego, which is so rare for such a big boss in Hollywood. Like, he's so being malleable with the writers and with the characters and with the actors. Like, he lets people, he believes that the best idea wins. And I think that's why his projects are so collaborative. And I think that's why he uncovers such cool talent all the time, both in writers and in his actors. But I think this might be his craziest comedy yet. Like, even he sometimes apologizes to us just before he tells us what the next episode will be because of how insane it is. We get these warning emails. Completely gone mad just before he's about to tell us what's coming up next in the season. We don't find out until just before we're about to shoot what's happening because he doesn't want it to affect our performance if we know. He wants it to be as fresh and authentic as possible. So we're on the journey with the viewer. He's just brilliant. He's a very nice guy, but I love the fact challenges audiences, and he doesn't condescend to network audiences. You know, a lot of people feel that sometimes network comedy can be a little bit safe or a little bit dumbed down, and he doesn't do that. He believes in the intellect of the American public and the worldwide public, and he knows that people will get it. He's not afraid to take it to a high concept, and it's wonderful that he could slip, you know, cocaine and masturbation jokes into something that is also suitable for children. So it suits all the ages. We get children coming up and saying they love the show. We get old people coming up and loving the show. It's a very diverse audience, and he's just mastering tone and slipping something in there and making sure that it's something that we can all watch as a community.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, just sort of in closing, what about you, your career personally? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but is this your first sort of scripted TV role? I know you've done a lot of hosting gigs as yourself, but about how those sort of, first remind our listeners sort of what you were doing before on British TV and everything, and how that maybe even prepared you for a role like this.
Well, the audition was my first time acting, so that was terrifying, but made me feel quite safe because I was so sure that there was no way he'd ever give me the job. And so I got the job by some miracle and then have just been terrified ever since. I've just been sweating buckets trying to catch up with some of the best actors I've ever seen and learning how to act alongside them. But I think working with Ted Danson and Chris Bell is probably like 4 years of drama school crammed into 4 months because they're so incredible to watch. And as long as you pay, you can really learn a lot of them. But I really have no idea what's going on, and I think that Mike Schur was insane for hiring someone who had no idea what they were doing. But he's already paid me now, so they can't take that back. Tough shit. Sorry.
Well, it might have been an insane idea, but it's working. You're killing it. So keep doing what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing.
Thank you. It turns out I love acting, so I'm so happy that happened. Imagine if I'd had the flu that day or just hadn't gone, or if I'd broken my leg. My whole life wouldn't have changed. I had no idea when I came to America that I would act. It was never something that I dreamed of doing. In fact, it was always something that I said I would never want to do because I didn't understand what a joyous and fun craft it is. And I think I got super lucky and spoiled that I ended up working with such lovely, funny, talented people. Because you learned from last year, not every film set is a safe or happy place. I got really lucky.
Yeah, not every film set is a good place. Some are the bad place.
Exactly.
awesome. So, final seconds. So are you based in Hollywood now? What do you got coming up next?
I live in Los Angeles. I'm an actress. I'm a proper actress now. I'm also starting voiceover at Disney, and I'm about to start a new show for NBC, which is not scripted. It is a science show, a science documentary show that I'll be working on at some point soon.
What's it called?
I can't tell you any more about it until the press release. But you'll be seeing more of me in lots of different ways. And I hope that is not a problem for you.
No, we're looking forward to whatever else you have come down the pipe. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Everyone, check out The Good Place. It returns for the second half of season 2 tonight on NBC. Jamila, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All right, bye.